Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing and Bored series, the On the Set and Departed Soul series coming soon, and I'm also the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly Magazine. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Carol P. Roman, author of over 54 award-winning children's books. I write adult fiction under the pen name Britt London and have authored both Bulwark and the Knowing in the Bulwark Anthology. I'm also creative director of the Indie Authors Monthly Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Today's guest is Christina Rinesy. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. She's a Jersey Shore local, a new adult thriller author, certified professional coach, and the former president of Sisters in Crime Central Jersey. An INFJ who dreams beyond big, Christina encourages others and herself to embrace the unknown through her stories and fierce women risking their lives to become who they were always meant to be. When she's not writing or drinking wine, Christina is spoiling her three fur beasts, dissecting true crime stories, singing and dancing to yacht rock radio, or rooting for the WVU Mountaineers. She believes in all things paranormal, a closet full of designer bags, weekly manicures, the law of attraction, aliens, angels, and the value of a graduate degree in psychology. Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's fun reading your bio. There's so much we all have in common here. But Amy at Bookshelf Review said of your book, Among Us, it's more than just a story about aliens or whatever life is beyond the stars, but filled with action and heart-pounding wonder on both the reader's part and the characters. This is the first book by this author I've read, but I will definitely seek out Rienzi's other stories as well. I was drawn in by Rienzi's writing style and how her characters came to life. The read was not only unforgettable, but even worth a second read. So what comes to mind when I read something like that, and it's a beautiful review, are you a plotter or a panster?
Yeah, it's very funny. No, it is a beautiful review. I was so grateful for that. I'm a little bit of both. I do. I follow the guidelines. I don't know if you guys have heard of. It's been out in the writing world for a while. The Save the Cat methodology.
Oh my God,
it's really
my
a screenwriting.
Bible.
Yeah, I love it. It's so great. So I do follow that very loosely, as you know, in the beginning, and then I like write to that. So I'll do, you know, like the beginning, the middle and the end, and then sort of let the characters lead me. But I do go back and make sure I'm hitting the points. I just want to make sure I have a solid story there. So, but I will say a lot of the things that happened in this story and what typically what happens when I'm writing is the characters do lead, the story does lead, twists and turns happen. It's very exciting as an author to pants a little bit. I just tend to be more structured and I have to go back and kind of make sure I'm hitting the points because I just don't want it to, you know, write off in a circle, which I tend to do. So I'm a little bit of both, but I would say that I try to stay true to the Save the Cat methodology.
RL, I have another comment. Do you mind if I say it?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, it's very interesting because my son, it's Blake Schneider's book, and he swears by Save the Cat. And I think it makes for a very structured novel. And a lot of people say that his books read like a movie, and so it sounds like you follow the same template. I find it, you know, a little bit out of like, sync with what, after reading your bio, that you believe in the paranormal and the law of attraction. I'm more of a person who feels that we get our books from the universal consciousness. Sometimes don't you feel as though someone else is writing the book for you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think that happens to me when I'm writing. Like, so this becomes like, okay, here's my roadmap, but as I'm going to the next stop, I'm pulled in by that stuff. But absolutely, I feel like there's some kind of divine download going on, and I'm being right. Like, and it's like I'm in the moment, I'm in the zone. I don't know what's happening, and that's where all the crazy stuff comes out. That actually ends up being the stuff that people like the most. If I'm not thinking about it too much, it works better. But then I should say, like, I structure, I lose loosely structure and then I like plot, but I edit more to it. Like I'll go back and just make sure, did I do the right thing by the reader? And it isn't like so tightly wound up that it's perfect, but I feel like I just want to make sure I did right by the reader and it is a story that is hitting beats and then moving forward. But it, for me, it's a great like just kind of like a roadmap for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think with a thriller, just having, you know, this is the genre I write in and what it attracts me, I like the idea of having, you know, there's a lot of action. Obviously, there's a lot of showing versus telling, which you want in most stories, of course. But certainly for thriller, it helps to keep me on track with that versus getting off on a tangent in someone's head or kind of spinning out of control, which can happen sometimes. You know, that definitely happens to me. So I'm with you. I think it's a little bit of both. But sure, mm-hmm. certainly when you're in the zone writing, that divine download, it's like nothing. It's the most amazing feeling in the world. It's like
I
awesome.
Totally
yeah.
agree. RL, do you believe in that too? Do you get a divine? I mean, like I know you wrote one book. I couldn't believe in like 5 minutes you wrote. Do you feel like you get a divine download too?
Definitely, especially with the last book I did, the paranormal. Like I did 8,000 words in like I don't know 5 hours.
In a minute. Yeah, like
amazing.
I could. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like
it
inhumane.
It just was pouring out.
Right.
Yeah. Don't we wish that could happen all the time? I like sit down and I'm like, why isn't it happening? There are days I'm like, what's going on? And it's like I have a block or whatever. But I do find writing in the morning, like I'm an early writer, like a 5 a.m. writer. I find that when I'm half asleep, like literally my editor's sleeping. My left brain is off because I'm a left brain person. So the right brain is alive. So I can allow that kind of thing to happen. Whereas if I wait too later in the day I'm already in organization mode and left brain mode, to pop out of that for me is difficult. But yeah, this is so cool. It's like magic. And by the way, big magic, Elizabeth Gilbert, I'm plugging her book right now because for all of us creatives, it was like the epiphany that you guys just talked about. That's what that book was, because that's what happens to her. And it happens to all of us, but it's just paying attention to that.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm new to writing adult fiction, but when for me, it's late at night. And once I get stuck, I can't stop. I think you're also late at night, right, RL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All day, late at night is where my sweet spot is, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I totally get the morning thing. Before your brain is awake, you just like just
right.
writing.
Or maybe after when your brain is tired, like you're done with the day, you're winding down, and then your right brain opens up then too. I think like either side of the day is a great time to open up that creativity.
Isn't it funny that you don't ever feel hot or bothered when you're writing? Like do you guys get that? Like the air conditioning can be off and I don't notice it until all of a sudden.
Right.
I'm drenched.
Yeah, like you're in a it's like nothing else exists when you're in that
mm-hmm.
zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go hours. It like you when you were saying you wrote for 8 hours or 5 hours or whatever, like I've had days like that where it was like 12 hours in my office with the door closed and it was like, oh my God, where'd the day go? Because you're in such you don't nothing mm-hmm. else exists around you. It is pretty amazing.
I think it is too. And unless you experience it, I think we've all had that experience. You write where you sit and you say, okay, I better come up with some stuff here, right? But
right.
then there are those moments where you just feel, like for me, I identified it as the universal consciousness just took over.
Yeah.
And the things that came out, I didn't know where it was coming from. It certainly was. It didn't feel like it was coming from my mind.
No, and that's true. And I have to say, the last year I went through a program. I became a certified professional coach, and it was I'm an energy coach. So a lot of what we learned and how to connect with ourselves opened my mind up even more. That maybe in the beginning when I started writing, like 10 years ago when I started writing professionally, I thought I wasn't sure how it would be, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. You're trying to figure it out. But as you evolve as a writer, and then certainly opening my mind to that kind of those kind of concepts and recognizing how like we are all connected and ideas are connected, that it was so much more like I can let go and just like
mm-hmm.
know it's going to happen, which is, you know, it's an evolution. All of us as authors, we evolve as people and as writers. And to be open to those things, I think it really does breed creativity.
That's a really interesting point because before, right, we were kind of having a discussion about that before you even got on. And being a writer is so frustrating. We were just having a discussion of how hard it is. You know, the rejection, the lack of sales, the inability to support yourself.
Yep.
Getting cheated by the powers that be.
Yep.
But what makes us come back and do it? What makes us, you know, you say, I'm never going to do this again. And then all of a sudden, you're like locked in the room and typing.
Yeah. And we're not the, and believe it, I mean, we all know people of all different levels in writing, right? We have our friends that are super successful, friends that are just starting, are where we are, where we want to be. But I feel like that thread never goes away where there is that, like, you're insecure. Even if you're confident about the story, you have that level of insecurity. Like, is it good enough? Is it going to be good enough the next time? Like, if I have a hit, will the next one be hit? And there's so much pressure we put on ourselves that takes away from the joy of what we're actually doing. And it can. Like, how many times have we quit writing? All of us. I mean, there's so many times where I'm like, what am I doing this for? And then you're like, I need to do it. Like, it's part of who I am. It's part of how I express myself. It's part of how I process life and how I grow as a person. Like, stories help me grow. I hope they help my readers grow, but they certainly help me grow and learn stuff about the world and what I think of the world and who I want to be. But I think, yeah, it's like it's such a difficult business to be in, and I don't want to ever discourage any new writer. I think you've got to follow your heart, and if it's your passion, go for it. If you're getting into it to become famous, rich, you know, and all those things, like, okay, maybe try something else, maybe go into business. But I think, you know, if you're doing it because it's a part of your heart, you got to do it, and you just do it, and you never give up, and maybe lightning strikes for you, maybe it doesn't, but the joy is in the process, you know, and if you're not getting joy out of the process, then I feel like it isn't worth doing, quite honestly, that you have to have some joy in that, in the creation of something from nothing, and that's what we're really doing, if you think about it. We're birthing lives and stories that never existed before that are going to affect people, even if it's one person. This is like a magical thing we do.
It's not only that, but, you know, what we do becomes part of the lexicon. You know, my son wrote a book, and people are repeating a name as though this person really exists.
I know,
and
right?
He's created something that's now part of American culture. And I agreed it's the small group, but I want to say one thing, I think Ara has a question after this, but I just want to say anybody can make money, but not everybody can create a book.
True.
You know,
I agree.
And I think that we're very special, and that's not ego talking. It takes
a
lot to finish, to take those threads and make that tapestry look like something. You know, anybody could, you know, just put some vomit words on a paper, but to actually write a cohesive story with a beginning, middle, and end, and tie those characters together. That's a gift.
It's a gift, and it's work. It's work from your soul. Like, it is deep down in your soul. It's not just physical. It's deep down in your soul work that, you know, people – I never knew before I did – you know, I would always do short stories until I got into a novel, which for me was the biggest challenge. I never realized what it took. I didn't know, and I knew I was faced with a challenge, and I happen to love a challenge, but it's one of those things that you're right. And to have the passion and drive to do it, it's rare. I agree.
I do too.
Yeah.
Okay, so my quote is from someone named Desiree, and she said, I cannot put this book down. It was exciting, suspenseful, and dare I say, pretty funny at times. As a paranormal lover, this book hits all the points and leaves you wanting more. I need a sequel. So what kind of humor was she talking about in your book?
You know, it's funny because I never really looked at it as humorous, but I think when I think about the characters and the way they deal with things, because I tend to feel like I'm more of a serious, like, not, I don't mean serious writer as in, like, I'm a serious, like, literary writer. I don't mean it that way. I mean, but I try to, like, I think when I'm writing, I'm dealing with more of issues where I don't see my sense of humor in them, but it's my characters. I think it was just her attitude. I will say the main character, her attitude about things and life and the way that she looks at things, I think she has like a sarcasm to her that probably comes across as humor, right, to some people. Because, you know, sarcasm can be humor, of course. And I think as she's going through these things, she has an attitude. She has a sarcasm about it because it is a frustrating place that she's in, where she's, you know, she's basically going up against this government agency, and she's on her own, and she's also going up against, she's a professor by day, and she doesn't really fit in there, and she's going up against them too. So if I had to guess, I would say, I don't intentionally put humor in, but I think by way of how my characters come alive, that sarcasm, that kind of like looking at life in like not such a serious way comes out because it breaks the tension, because there is a lot of tension in the story, which is what I wanted to create. But I think there are moments where it's broken because, you know, you kind of, and I almost feel like as a writer, you have to break the tension. And there's so many different ways to do it. But I think through the characters in this story, it's through a little sarcasm, through a little kind of like nudge, and just that, that is what I would think that she would mean by the humor piece of it, which is actually flattering to me because I don't feel like I'm a comedic writer by any means or can write anything that's funny. You know, like to me, I think of like the darker side of life. So that was an interesting review because I so appreciate that kind of feedback.
Well, you know, so like I was just thinking, and then you said it was unintentional humor, kind of like to me, I equate humor with humanity. In other words, the humor reflects the true humanity. Otherwise, we're all just robots. So Jill said of your short story, this was a great short story. The writer quickly gets you into the characters and leads your imagination wonderfully. Just when you think the story is over, there's a twist. I read the story in one sitting and couldn't put it down. So, you know, writing a short story, a cohesive short story, is really hard. You know, a lot of people shy away from them because they think they're not going to enjoy them. What made you write short stories over novels, it sounds like what you said before is you switched from short stories to novels. So can you talk about the evolution of that?
Yeah, I've always loved, I don't know, I'm a very big fan of the Twilight Zone, 1960s version, like the old school Twilight Zone. That's like my favorite show in the world. And I love when something can be introduced, twisted, and wrapped up quickly. And so I've always been on the short story, like writing short stories has always been something that I've loved to do. It actually was really difficult for me to write a novel and to expand to that. But my mind thinks, my brain tends to think in quick, short, like stints. So even when I'm writing a novel, I write a short novel and then I blow it up. So, like, I'm not somebody who writes a 100,000-word novel. I'll write, the novel will start out, it'll be like a novella length, and then I'll go back and I'll blow it up. Like, I write a skeletal story. So, for me, a short story is much easier to do, much faster to do. My brain thinks like that. I just tend to think shorter and twisted, and I can see the picture, like, the story better. I can get from A to Z quite faster. It's when I have to expand it out that takes me time. But I know, and I so appreciate that feedback too, because I've heard people say that, how hard it is. And I don't deny that it definitely isn't easy, and you want to do it well. It's just, I think because my brain thinks shorter, that it's easier for me. Like if someone said to me, I need you to write a short story, you know, within the next week, I have no problem doing that. It might not be like perfect to be published, but like that's easy for me. Like writing short is easy for me. It's just that when I have transitioned to novella and novel, I spend my time on them. You know, you spend more time on those. So I haven't ventured back as much into short story. I'll do it more for like an anthology or something. Like we had a Sisters in Crime anthology come out, and I wrote a short story for that. Because those, to me, it's like part of the bigger picture, and then I'm sharing in that joy with other authors, and that feels like cool to me, like to be partnership with other authors, and just to share that experience, like having a theme and things like that. So I do love to do that. It's just, I really pretty much started out that way. And I started out that way young. Like I was writing short stories since I was a kid. And then when I decided I wanted to write a book, like I said, I want to write a novel, I was in a writing group that said, start with a short story. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And well, trying to write one that was publishable is different than just writing a short story. So that took a long time. But once I got comfortable with that process, then it was just one of those things that is like fun and exciting for me to do.
Awesome. So my question is, you have a background in crime prevention. So does that play a role in any of your books?
So I'm part of, my background is in Well, I was president of Sisters in Crime Central Jersey, but I also, my background is in psychology, actually. I have counseling psychology background, as well as, and I've done things with in the mental health industry. I've been, I was a therapist for a little while, and I've also gone to, like, Writers Police Academy. Like, I have a very strong interest in true crime, in abnormal psychology, and all that. So, yes, and I also have a strong interest in like forensics and forensic psychology. So all of those things that I'm interested in and that I've dabbled in throughout my career, my life, I try to blend them into my stories. It's probably why I write darker stories and stories about the darker side of life. Part of it is because I tend to write what I'm afraid of. Like, I write of things that scare me, and I write about things that, you know, scare me so that my characters can overcome, but I can overcome as well. So, and I am always and always have been interested in what makes people do what they do. Why do people do bad things? You know, why, what makes somebody, you know, what does a sociopath really look like? Why would they do what they do, and is it a result of their brain functioning? Is it the environment? Like, what's going on there? And just having, you know, my master's in psychology and having worked in that you know field, seeing that firsthand, you know, it never stops churning in my brain. So I try to blend that into each story a little bit. I would love to get a little bit more into forensics with my future work. I know that there's a leap there in terms of a learning curve, but that's something that interests me tremendously, because I'm interested in, okay, this is what happened. Now how does it get solved, and what pieces of the puzzle do we put together? But certainly the human mind and the human behavior, more than even the mind, are something that just have always intrigued me. So, yeah, that's how I would say that there's a little bit of that. No matter what I'm writing, there's a psychology to everything I'm writing. There's some piece of it in there.
You know, it's really interesting how you've woven your personal life with your writing skills, and I think a lot of us do it, but we're not as aware. You know, you mentioned earlier that the Twilight Zone influenced you. What other authors or television or movies influenced your writing style?
So that's a good question, because I love there's so many authors I love from all different walks of life. You know, I've always been a big, of course, you know, at being a thriller writer and also loving the paranormal, Stephen King fan. I don't write anything like him for many reasons. One, he's brilliant, but two, he does write longer books. But I love that his storytelling is so, he explores things that people are afraid to explore, and he does it. He doesn't care. He just goes there. Like, I love that about him. That risk-taking behavior about him, like, gives me courage to write about things that I'm afraid what people will think if I write about this. Like, I love that piece of him. I was also a big Dean Koontz fan growing up, and the way he wrote so beautifully. And, you know, that's not something that comes naturally to me, but that's a piece I always think of, like, okay, once the story's out and it's a good story, like, make sure that it's, like, it sounds good, that there's a rhythm to it, that there's, it's not just words on a page, like, it's like music. I've taken that from him. One of my favorite, more modern, like, I would say authors that's, like, really, truly, doesn't write thriller, but she writes about contemporary issues that are, you know, mainstream issues, and she's writing about them from both sides of the fence always, is Jodi Picou. I love her writing. I love her storytelling. What I take away a little bit from her is I love how she does alternating POVs, and she has multiple POVs, she has people telling a story from different perspectives. She shows all sides to the story. This is something, like, I aspire to. Like, I've not gone there in terms of trying that way of writing out, but to me, reading her books opens my mind, and that's what I want to do. I think when I'm writing a book, and I always say embrace the unknown, that's kind of like my little tagline for me and my readers, but I always want to open a mind of someone reading my story, and she does that for me. When I read her books, I go into, she tackles very difficult issues that people won't touch, she does, and when I go into them, I think I know how I feel about it, but when I come out, I see every side of it, and I always am hoping that when I do write a story, my readers are walking away with a couple of different perspectives than they had before. So I feel like I take little pieces of that I just write like me. I know that sounds like, well, what does that mean? But I never tried to like copycat the way someone wrote, but I always tried to take a little bit of how they did things. Two other authors, Lisa Gardner and Lisa Scottolini, they do suspense. They do thriller. I love the way they build up. They leave you hanging at the end. It's very personal. Things move fast. You get into the characters. So I've taken those pieces from them, I would say. I've tried to just be like a version of myself, but well-rounded and taking a little bit of influence from the people who I've loved to read over the years.
Nice. So can I ask you, what advice would you give a new author starting out?
I think the first piece of advice I would give is exactly what someone gave me and what I did and really kept me on track was the first thing I did before I even wrote anything down was I joined a writer's group. I joined a local writer's group. I found one online. I knew nobody in it. I showed up at the library, and I just observed what went on. I talked to people, and it gave me the confidence I needed to sit down and put pen to paper. It also gave me a community that I could rely on, and I think it's so important. And I'm not saying, like, don't just write, because go ahead and write. If you feel like you're not ready for that, because a lot of us are introverts, we won't want to leave the confines of our home to do what we want to do, start writing. And just write as much as you can. Read and write as much as you can, and read about craft and as much as you can. Do as much as you can do online if that's your comfort zone. But I really, really think it's super important to get out of your comfort zone, because that's what writing's about. It's not about doing what's comfortable. It's about doing what's uncomfortable. That's going to grow you. And sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes you write something and you get critiqued and it's not comfortable, but that's what grows you. When you get edited, it's not going to be comfortable. That's what grows you as a writer. So if you're really serious about writing, I think you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, do the things that you're okay doing, but go to that writer meeting, ask someone to look at your work, get some feedback. You don't have to take it if you don't want to, but get it and just create a community that you can rely on, because they are everything. Through it all, through my life, since I've been writing, so many things have happened, good and bad, and without them, I would have stopped writing a long time ago.
I have to agree with you there. We've come to the end of our interview, but I just want to ask you if you could quickly tell us if you have any signing events coming up, and give us your link so that our listeners can find you online.
Yes, actually. So I am at christinarienzi.com. It's KristinaRienzi.com. That's where all my links are, to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and everywhere else. And I do. I have a book signing event at the Stone Harbor Library in New Jersey. It's on September 7th from 1 to 4, I believe. I'll be there with my sisters in crime, authors, and all are welcome.
Thank you so much. Carol and I want to thank you for joining us today, Christina. This has been, you know, fun, to be honest, to hear you guys talk about, you know, where you're from and learn more about, like, I learned, like, the cat thing I didn't hear about until today, so I'm going to look that up.
Look it up, Blake Snyder,
if,
Save the Cat.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like, Save the Cat, that's what it is. So, listeners, remember, if you want to stay up to date with Christina, and find out more information about her and her book, please find her at www.KristinaRienzi, KristinaRienzi.com. And this is R.L. Jackson saying so long for Carol P. Roman. And we'd like to thank our guest again, Christina Rienzi, and all of our listeners. We hope you'll tune in for another Indie Authors Roundtable, where we bring the latest in books, authors, and indie publishing to the table. Don't forget to catch the latest issue of Indie Authors Monthly, available on Magster.com. Have an amazing day, and see you next time.